Here's the thing. How many of you guys have ever been, God has spoken to you in a certain way, or maybe you've read something in the Bible, like, you know, you read a verse and it's about anger, and then God tests your anger. Anybody ever been there? You read something about, like, forgiveness, and, you know, it's like a verse you need to forgive, you know, your enemies and all that stuff, and then your enemies show up. And then God's like, hey, here's an opportunity to forgive your enemies. It's so amazing, because, it's kind of a scary thing sometimes when you read the Bible, because you're like, oh, crap, what am I going to read today? Because God's going to test you in a little bit on what you just read. Well, it happened. It happened yesterday. My dreams have come true. We own some cows, and we have 40 pairs, or actually 39 now, because I had to sell one because couldn't keep her in. So I had 39 cows and 34 or 35 babies. Yesterday, my wife and I, we've been working on our cows. When you guys have heard the great stories of that, some of that, working on our crowds. So we got to inaugural, we had this inaugural, like, crowd, or not crowd, but corral experience, because it's like, you know, when you have a ship and you break a bottle of wine on the whatever. We didn't break a bottle of wine, but anyways, we worked our cows yesterday. So we drove them 2 miles down the Chester Blacktop because we had to get them to the house, because I built all these corrals at the house, dang it. And we're going to work them in the corrals. We're not going to do it easy way and get a portable pen and work them in that pen. We're going to bring them to the corral. So all the hold up on the Chester Blacktop, you're welcome. At one point, we had like 7 cars behind us because we got all these cows going down the road, and then this motorcycle drives up, and all the cows are coming toward him, and he's just sitting on his motorcycle like this. I was like, what's up, man? So he got the Oklahoma experience, wherever he's from. So anyways, we get the cows into the pens. The pens work great, by the way. The welding held. That's always a good thing. The welds held. We worked all the cows. We actually drug all the calves, drug them to the fire. I mean, it was awesome. We had a great time. But then my help left, and I had all the cows, and I needed to get them to this grass that I was going to take them to. And all the, you know, one of my cowboys that was with me, he had to go to a wedding. The other one had to build fence on his own place and all that. So they're all gone. So I call the guy that's, you know, renting us the grass, and I say, I'm ready to load these cows and go take them over there. Well, he was loading some cows on this property, and he needed my help. So I went and helped him. We loaded his cows, got them all taken care of, and then he came back with his pot, his bull wagon or his trailer to haul the cows. And so I load all the baby calves in my trailer. I pull out of the way, and then he loads all the cows in the pot. And so we get on the road. We're headed 2 or 3 or 4 miles down the road to this grass. Well, we decide, well, we didn't have really a pen set up there to let them out to pair up. So we're going to back the trailers up, and we're going to just let them kind of see each other and pair up right there. That's where it went wrong. Anybody been there? You're like, okay, this is going to work, and then it doesn't work. When I let all the calves out, thinking the mamas would stick around. Well, the mamas, they came out, and they just took off. And then 8 or 10 calves went right underneath the hot wire and ran off. And so we were chasing it. And here's the other thing. I had all the calves in my trailer. When I get out of my trailer to open the gate to let the calves out, I hear something. And it is it's a tire going flat on my trailer. And I'm just listening to it going, how do I stop that? You know, I mean, can I get some gum? I'm just thinking, this is crap. Because the flat was, you know, the tire was going flat. All these calves break loose, and we get about 8 of them in, but they're still 2 gone. Still 2 gone. And so I've got a flat tire. I don't have my horse, so I can't go run them down, and I'm not going to run on foot. Because they took off, I mean, high-headed. They took off, went across the road, ran a mile that way. These guys on the farmers, they had their four-wheelers. Love four-wheelers. Anybody? No. Anyways, to each his own. But they had their four-wheelers, so they try to turn them, and they try to get them, you know, come back toward our pasture and all that stuff. Well, they just duck into the sagebrush and cedar trees, and they are gone. I mean, they are gone. I searched. I went back to the house with my flat trailer, and I changed the tire like Bo Duke. I mean, you know, Dukes of Hazzard, Bo and Luke Duke. I mean, they changed tires like nothing. I changed a flat in like 2 minutes. I mean, it was a record. It changed the flat, loaded my horse, and I rode till dark searching for those stupid calves, and I still haven't found them. I left this morning before church, went out there to try and find those calves, and they're still gone. So, you say, well, what's the moral of the story? Well, here's the thing. If you are in the cattle business, then you have to plan for things like this. It's called death loss. Anybody ever plan for death loss? Okay, let me explain a few things. If you're in a cattle business, then death loss is when calves die, right? And you say, well, what are some of the causes of calves dying? Well, the greatest cause of calves dying is a respiratory disease, right? So that's why we give them shots. That's one of the causes. The other causes are injury. I've been in pens where the pens were terrible, and a calf gets cut, and he bleeds out. I mean, I've seen it. The other one is predators. Anybody got coyotes around your place? I mean, you need to call the government trapper, right? That's another form of death loss or another cause of death loss. I mean, the weather. I mean, if we get a snowstorm, I've seen cows, you know, just be buried. Or fires. I mean, all those things you have to plan for when you're planning a budget if you're in the cattle business. And here's the truth. It's inevitable. I mean, that's why all of them have a percentage, 1%, 2% death loss in their budget when they get in the cattle business. But here's the thing. If we allow the death loss to make us miserable, it will define our herd. You ever been there? I mean, but here's the truth. Here's what I have to remember. I have 32 other calves that are still alive, and I've only lost 2. Do you see the difference? And so here's what I want you to get out of today. And it's so funny because I prepared this. I had it all written out, and then yesterday happened. And I'm like, dang it. Why do I have to preach on this stuff? Because then it comes true. But God gave me that illustration to show you something. Here's the personal application. Here's the truth. We live in a world of death loss. We live in the world of pain. We live in a world of suffering. We live in a world of darkness. And here's the truth. It's inevitable. No matter what you do, no matter how you try to live your life, the darkness and the pain will come. The darkness will be all around us, but here's the truth. The darkness and the pain do not have to define who we are. Think about it. I mean, I stayed up all night. I mean, and this is my struggle, and maybe you don't struggle like I do, but when something like that happens, I think 35 different ways we should have done that. Anybody? We should have done that different. I mean, we should have, you know, put its portable corrals up and let them pair up, and then they would have walked off. Nothing would have gone wrong. I mean, I stay up all night thinking about that. I get up early in the morning thinking about it, and it controls me to the point where I'm miserable. And I just want to beat those calves. I don't know. But here's the thing. I have to focus in on what's still alive. Now, those calves, they may come back, and everybody's told me, you know, those calves, they'll come right back. If, you know, mamas will call them in. Okay, hadn't happened yet. I wish it would. You guys keep praying, but let's bow our heads right now and just pray. No, I'm just kidding. You can pray. I'm not kidding, so pray for me. We're not going to go there. I'm not going to abuse my authority here. Make it all about me. But here's the truth. We have to focus in on what's still live in our life, not what the losses are, not what the pain is. And here's the truth. Sadly, the world is so consumed by what is wrong in the world. You ever been there? I mean, I hear people talk about it all the time. I mean, the world's going to hell in a handbasket. I mean, if our president would just do this, or those idiot politicians, and they just want to think about all the things that are wrong in the world. Well, here's the truth. I believe that Jesus desires for us followers of him to be different. I believe he desires for us to be different. And you say, okay, how do we be different in the dark days of life? Here's number one. Ready? If you're taking notes, write this down. When the dark times come, turn on the light. When the dark times come, turn on the light. And you say, well, who is the light? Let me give you a scripture. John 8:12, it says this. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not never walk in darkness, but will have the what? the light of life. So here's the truth. When dark times come, and they will, we can't just curse the darkness. We can turn on the light. You say, well, how do I turn on the light? Well, again, I'll give you another example. How many of you guys have literally been in a place, like a physical place, where it was just pitch dark? I mean, it was just the darkest place you've ever been. Okay, I went to Israel. As many of you guys know, I spent 10 weeks in Israel. And one of the greatest fun things that I did was I went to a place called Hezekiah's Tunnel. Show the picture of the Hezekiah's Tunnel. This is a tunnel. If you've never read this story in the Bible, but it's about King Hezekiah. He dug this tunnel so that the city of David could get water. So when you walk through this tunnel, and I actually walked through it, it's 1,750 feet long. It's funny because they started on one end, on this end, and they started on the other end of the tunnel, and it went like this, and then it went like this, and then it went like this, because they were just digging. You know what I'm saying? They were underground. So it's that long. I mean, if you were to make it straight, it'd be like 500 feet, but it goes like this. And so me and some of my buddies were like, let's go through Hezekiah's tunnel. Let's just walk through it. And you have to pay, to do this. It's like a tourist thing. And so we get into this tunnel, and there's like six of us, and they were all like college students, and only one of us had a flashlight. And it was the person in front, and I got in the back. And so here we are, we're walking through water, it's about this deep. And if the person in front would like turn a corner or go around the corner, it was black. I mean, I'd stick my hand in front of my face, and I can't see my hand. I had to walk like this to kind of keep myself from, falling over. I mean, it was that black. But here's the cool thing. When you get to the end of Hezekiah's tunnel, guess what's there? Light. And here's the cool thing. When you get to the end of Hezekiah's tunnel, there's a pool of water at the end of Hezekiah's tunnel. It's called the Pool of Siloam. Do you know what happened in the Pool of Siloam? I'll tell you. There was a blind man. God, or Jesus, sees this blind man. He said, I'm going to heal this blind man. So he spits in the dirt. He makes mud in the dirt, and he rubs this mud on this blind man's eyes. Guess which pool that he told him to go to wash it off? The Pool of Siloam. So when I got out of this tunnel, the darkest place that I've ever been in my life, guess what? I walk into the light and I get to wade in a pool where a blind man got to see the light for the first time in his life because Jesus healed him. It was the coolest thing. I mean, it was so amazing to be able to just experience that. But Jesus came, listen, to do the same thing in our lives. I mean, many times, if you're not there right now, guess what? I've got some great news. You're going to experience dark times. It's not so great news. That was a joke. But here's the truth. If you're not in dark times right now, guess what? Someday you will be. Someday you will be. And Jesus wants to do the same thing in your life. When you're in the tunnel, guess what? He is the light at the end of the tunnel. He is the light of the world. He is the hope of the world. And he can turn our darkness into light. He can do it. And he does it every day. Listen to what he did with the disciples. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it says this. For God who said, let there be light in darkness, has made this light to shine in our hearts so that we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of who? Jesus Christ. We are, listen to this, we are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not abandoned. We are struck down, but not destroyed. Do you listen to that? Listen to the hope that they found in the light of Jesus. They were struck down, but not destroyed. Maybe you're here today, and you've been struck down by your past. Maybe you've been struck down by your failures or your bad choices. Listen, Jesus wants to shine his light and cover your darkness. Maybe you're in a present situation where you've made a bad decision. Maybe you're in a dark spot because you lost your job, and you're a father, and you're thinking, man, how do I take care of my family? How do I do this? Listen, Jesus wants to shine the light in your dark times, and he can do it. He wants to do it because he is Christ. So number one, when we face the dark times of life, listen, turn the light on. Turn to Jesus. Because he is the light of the world. You say, how else, Bo? How else do we turn the light on and not lose or not be focused so much on the losses of life and let them define us? Number two is this. We practice preventative principles. Try to say that fast. Practice preventative. See, I'm terrible at this stuff. I mean, I put too many syllables in words and I sound like an idiot sometimes. Anybody ever do that? You guys do that in front of one person. I do it in front of like 275 people. So it's okay to laugh. Can you laugh with me? Can you just smile because I'm an idiot? It's okay. Practice preventative principles. Now, I'll explain it this. In the cattle industry, while there is death loss and it's inevitable, you can do some things to minimize death loss. What do? You practice some principles. You practice vaccinating. All right, yesterday we gave a black leg and a red nose shot to each of our calves. You know why? Because we want to prevent the possibility or minimize the death loss. I mean, that's just what we do. It's a practice principle. Another principle that you can practice is building good corrals. I mean, again, it doesn't matter how good they are. I mean, our calves still got out, and we built some great corrals. But here's the truth. If you don't have good corrals, sometimes, like I said, I was out with a guy. We were working his calves. He walked by, and one of his calves walked by a feeder, and it was sharp, and I saw it. And as soon as I saw it, it just cut him in half. I mean, that calf was bleeding out. They had to put him in the trailer and took him to the vet. They had to sew him up to save his life. Preventative? Could have been. If they had built good corrals. Working slow and easy when you're around cattle. That's a preventative practice that will keep your cows healthier. I'm not real good at it. When a calf runs away, guess what I want to do? I'm going to chase the sucker. I'm going to go get it. And we had to do that a little bit yesterday, but it was fun. But here's the truth. By doing this, by practicing principles, our attitude can be different about the darkness of this life. You say, what practices do we need to follow? Practice following God's word. If you will follow God's word, guess what? You can minimize the dark times of your life. I'm not saying you're going to eliminate them, but you can minimize them. If you've made poor choices in the past because you haven't followed God's word, you need to start making right choices and follow God's word to help minimize the dark times in your life. Maybe you've experienced failures. Here's the truth. The word of God, it can keep us from making those wrong decisions that lead to darkness. Psalm 119, 105. Listen to what it says. It says, your word is a what? A lamp for my feet and a what? A light on my path. And I'll say it again. When I follow God's truths in my marriage, with my kids, in the job, I mean, every day of my life, when I spend time with God and I practice the truths of his word, guess what? I can eliminate the self-inflicted dark times in my life. I can eliminate them. Every time I read my Bible, guess what? It helps me. It doesn't hurt me. It helps me. So when I read my Bible of a morning, guess what? I have a better day. Because I practice the principles of applying God's truth in my life. And guess what? I'm prepared for the darkness. Does that make sense? I mean, you say, well, it's not going to happen. Yeah, it'll happen. And the question is, a lot of times, have you prepared by practicing his principles? Are you prepared for it? I mean, are you going to lose it when those calves run off like I wanted to? It made me want to cuss. Can I just tell you? Even the preacher made me want to cuss. Because I was just watching them, I was like, I'm too fat, and I can't run after those suckers. I need my stinking horse that I feed every day, but he's not here. That's what I was thinking. But I can be prepared for that, if I'm in the light of the Lord. Here's number three, and I'm done. How do we not let the losses of life control or define us? Number three is this. You may have to change something. Listen, if you're facing dark times over and over and over again, and you got this pattern of darkness, everything's going wrong, it's time to change something. I mean, it's time to change something. Think about if you have bred heifers. Now you say, what's a heifer? It's not the girl that you're sitting next to. I just had to throw that in. But a heifer is a first-time mama. right? If you're not in the cattle industry, it's a first-time mama. And a lot of times, heifers have issues. Now, here's the thing. If you buy a set of bred heifers, and majority of them are having trouble, or the majority of the calves are dying, guess what you need to do? Change bulls. Or buy some bred heifers from somebody else that isn't lying to you and telling you that that bull was a low birth weight bull, right? So you got to change something. I'll say that, you know, what else do we need to change? If you buy crazy cows and they're getting out like mine, you need to buy some better cows. You need to change something. If you use a brand of medicine and these calves get sicker, you need to change something, right? I mean, if your calves are dying because they're out in the weather all the time and you know, there's no shade, build some shade. Build something, change something. Here's the point. If you want your cattle to survive, if you want your cattle to be healthy and live productive lives and make you a profit, sometimes you have to change something. Here's the truth. The same is true in life. If you, in your life, you find yourself focused on the losses more than the good, if you always find yourself in the dark seasons of life, if you always find yourself being negative, if you always find yourself never on the sunny side of life, it's time to change something. It's time to change something. You say, well, what do I change? Can I just tell you, it's time to change your focus. And there's something to be said about having a positive attitude, right? Even when all hell breaks loose and everything goes wrong and the calves get out, there's something about having a positive attitude where you can focus. And here's the other thing. Some of us need to stop listening to the people that are causing the darkness in our lives. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there are some people that just bring darkness into your life. I call them joy suckers. They just suck the joy right out of you. You know what I'm saying? And so maybe you need to, you know, change the people that you're listening to. If your marriage is going to pot and someone's telling you to get out, change the people that you're listening to. They're going to lead you to more darkness. If you're a teenager and you're listening to some friends that are going to lead you down this wrong path, you need to change friends. You need to love those friends. You need to invite those friends to our church. You need to show them the love of Jesus. Maybe you need to change your friends because they're going to lead you to darkness. Maybe you need to change where you're going. Some of you guys, you go to places that lead you into dark places and they lead you down this dark path. You need to change some of the places you're going. You need to change some of the habits that you have. If you're watching stuff that, you know, leads you to darkness, if you're doing stuff that leads you to darkness, you need to change it. It's okay to change it. And you say, Bo, that's me. I mean, I think about the worst in life all the time. I let my circumstances define me. I always seem to be consumed by what is wrong in the world. How do I change? Well, I go back to number one. You turn the light on. When I face the darkness in times of my life, when I face the wrong decisions that I made and the failures that I made, I have to go back to Jesus and say, Jesus, I need you to turn the light on. Whatever it takes, I need that light to be on. I need you to cover my darkness. And guess what? Sometimes he doesn't turn the light on when you want him to. Anybody ever been there? He's like, no, Bo, I want you to walk in darkness a little bit longer. But here's the cool thing about God. He puts his arm on your shoulder and he walks with you. Some of you guys are here today and you're walking through darkness without him. I don't know how you do it because it's hard enough to walk with him. But the truth is, some of us need to change something and so that we can be prepared for the dark times of life. Listen to John 16:33. It says, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. He has overcome the darkness of this world. We don't have to focus in on the losses, the death losses, the pain, the suffering. Although it's real and we need to embrace it and allow him to teach us whatever he's wanting to teach us, we don't have to be defined by it. You don't have to be defined by your past. You don't have to be defined by the failures that you're in right now, the present failures that you're in right now. You can change through the light of Jesus Christ. You can do it. Yes. But here's the thing I want to leave you with. Not only does Jesus want to change the darkness in your life, here's the truth. Listen to this. Because we can focus so much internally on our own issues. Here's what else God wants to do. He wants to use us to change this dark world. You hearing me? Listen. He wants to use us to change this dark world. You say, well, I've heard it too. I mean, I've said it. You know, this world's going to hell in a handbasket. I mean, look at all the things that are wrong. I mean, look at all the, you know, the stuff that's going wrong. And look at all the way that the core, you know, the values and the convictions of our world. Look at how they're all going to pot. Listen, we can change it. I can change it. I can teach my kids not to be that way. I can show my wife what love really looks like. I can change the patterns of my life through the power of Jesus Christ. I can change it. I can change people's lives by sharing with them how to turn the light on. I can change it. And that's what God has called us to do. Not only to change our lives, not only to allow us to experience the light, but to shine the light on everybody else so that they can be changed too. That's what he's called us to do. Listen to Matthew 5, and this is talking about us. It says, you are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out of all for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. So here's the truth. There is a dark world and we face it every day, but we can change it. And guess what? I'm going to go to my grave trying to change the darkness into light. I'm going to do it. Whatever it takes, whatever darkness that I have to enter into, whatever God calls me to be or to do, I'm going into the dark and I'm going to shine the light of Jesus Christ. And I'm asking you to go with me because we can change our world. We can do it. God can use us and he wants to use us. Here's the truth. The world is buying into all the dark things of life. And guess what? We have something better. Again, we can blab all we want about what's wrong in the world, all the darkness in the world. But until we begin to change it, until we begin to share what is better in Christ, it's pointless. I'd rather you shut your mouth. I don't need to hear what's wrong. Tell me what we can do to change it. I know it's wrong. And so here's the thing. And you may be here today and you're thinking, well, you know what, Bo? I'm in a dark spot. Jesus can change it. You say, Bo, I've experienced loss. I mean, we've lost maybe a child, or we've lost, you know, a relationship, or, you know, I've lost this. I'm in a dark time in my life. Jesus can change it. He can do it. I want to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes for just a minute. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, nobody's looking around, but I want to ask you, just so that I know how to pray, just so that I know that I'm not the only one, how many of you guys would say, Bo, I'm in a dark time in my life right now? Would you just raise your hand and say that? You know, I'm in a dark time, a dark season. Yeah, thank you, all across the barn. I'm in a dark season. I'm facing something that I mean, it's just hard. Can I just tell you, those of you that just raised your hand, Jesus is the light of the world. Do not buy into the lie that the darkness is going to be there forever, because he can change it. You may be a teenager and you're living in a dark world. You're facing some dark things ahead of you. You don't know what to do with your life. You have decisions to make. You don't know what to say. You don't know how to act. You're seeing things on TV, you're watching things on the internet, and you think, well, is that the way I should go? Listen, allow Jesus to guide you with his light, because he wants to take you down a right path, a praiseworthy path, a God-honoring path that will be for your good and for his glory. And so turn the light on of Jesus. Follow his word. Practice it. Apply the principles of his word to your life, and you will minimize the dark times in your life. And you will be able to overcome them. And so maybe that's you. Maybe you're here today and you've never experienced the light of Christ. Maybe you've never given your life to him. It starts there. It's not a self-help, you know, situation. It's a life-changing decision that you need to make. And you say, well, how do I make the Lord, how do I make Jesus the light of my life? Here's how you do it. You give him your life. You say, well, how do I do that? Well, maybe you just want to pray a prayer right there in your seat. You don't have to pray it out loud. Just pray it in your heart. I mean, the Bible says that if we will confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, he will forgive us and he will come into our lives and we will be saved. And so maybe with your heart, you need to just confess right there in your chair. Maybe you just pray this simple prayer. Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. I confess that I have done things wrong. And I need you to turn the light on and I need you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to take away my past and help it not to define who I am. But may I be defined by you. Please forgive me and save me. Listen, maybe you just prayed that prayer for the first time in your life. You have prayed the most important prayer in your life. And I just want to say, you have made the best decision that you'll ever make by starting a relationship with the light of the world. Here's the thing. He wants to shine through you. And you say, but how do I start that? How do I get there? How do I know what to do? Listen, we can help. Here's what we do. We don't ask you to come to the front. We don't ask you to fill out, we don't ask you to fill out a bunch of stuff. Here's all we ask you to do. Grab that orange card on your chair, fill it out, place it in one of these yellow buckets, and we will contact you about your decision. It's that simple. You say, but I don't want anybody to know. Then it's not worth knowing Jesus. You ought to be able to desire now to shine for him. To say, I'm not ashamed. I'm going to shine bright because Jesus has given me eternal life. He's overcome my darkness. He's forgiven me of my sins. And so listen, if you just prayed that prayer for the first time, fill out that orange card, place it in one of these yellow buckets, and we will come alongside of you and help you. You say, but I don't have a card. Just text your name to the number on the screen. That's all you got to do. You don't have to text your decision, anything else. Text your name to the number on the screen, and we will contact you and give you the resources and the encouragement and the prayer that you need to shine for Jesus. Listen, maybe some of you are in here today, and Jesus has shined his light in you, but you've not allowed him to shine his light through you. I want you to hear this. Because if you're a Christian in here and you've never shown the light of Christ outside these walls or outside the walls of your Christian corral, maybe you need to make a commitment to say, okay, Lord, I want you to shine bright in the world of darkness. I want you to guide me to the places that are dark so that I can shine bright for you. Show me those people that are living in darkness and help me to shine bright so that they can see you and me. Maybe you need to pray that as a Christian. Lord, help me to shine bright for you. I hope that you'll do that as a Christian because here, again, we want to change the world. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to lead us in a word of prayer. If you got questions, need prayer, please let us know. Lord, thank you. Thank you for the dark times, Lord. It's hard to pray, but thank you for the dark times. Because you have shown your power even in the midst of the darkness. And so, Lord, as we enter into whatever season of life that we're in, as we're in the midst of it, maybe if we're in a dark time right now, I pray that you would just show your power in the lives of us as we experience the dark times of life. Show your power through all of us. And Lord, if we're in a great time, a lit up time, a happy time, a joyful time, may we rejoice and may we enjoy it. May we praise you. May we give you the glory for it. But may we prepare for the dark times. Not live in fear, not worry, none of that stuff, but prepare by practicing the principles of your word. So that when the dark times do come, we can go and turn the light on. Or the light will already be on. So Lord, help us to do that. We thank you for being the light of the world. And may we shine bright for you. It's in your holy name I pray. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand today. You guys enjoy the drizzly day.
Thank you for listening to this message from Pastor Bo Haig at Thousand Hills Ranch Church in Woodward, Oklahoma. Please join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. at the Woodward Livestock Auction.